This episode is brought to you by Undeniably Dairy. Dairy farmers are more than farmers. They're climate caretakers. They see water as a precious resource. Most farmers recycle water up to four times, from chilling the milk to irrigating the crops. And some even use technology to turn manure into renewable energy. To learn more about what dairy farmers are doing to make their farms more sustainable, visit usdairy.com.
Maruchan superfans are everywhere. From the busy moms who want to deliver maximum flavor in a flash to dorm room diners who want to put some slurp in their step. There are a ton of copycats you could use, but if you want to bless your bowl, there's only one true Maruchan. Whether you choose instant lunch, ramen bowls, yakisoba, or restaurant quality gold, Maruchan is the only ramen worth obsessing over. Smiles for all. Maruchan. See what all the ramen hype is about at maruchan.com.
Hello, you are listening to the Oh Crap Potty Training Podcast, and I am your host, Jamie Glowacki. I am the author of Oh Crap Potty Training and Oh Crap, I Have a Toddler. So today, I am recording this on June 25th, and typically, I give this warning around July 22nd, but I'm going to start raising the roof about this warning now. If you are thinking about potty training and haven't started, it is time to start. Particularly if you have a deadline in September, such as preschool. We never know how long potty training is going to take. And if your child does run into some struggles or some bumps in the road, we want to give ample time to fix those and for your child to be really well acclimated to this whole process. Most preschools do demand that children be fully potty trained, including wiping the butt. And I do have a podcast on that, and I think it's called Wiping the Butt or Butt Wiping, so I won't waste time here. But you cannot do this the third week in August if your child's going to school in September. You have to give your child ample time to learn this and get super comfortable with it because it's not a transferable skill. Just because your kid is fine at home with you one-on-one and you watching does not mean that will automatically transfer to daycare or preschool, okay? Give yourself some time so that your child can get very, very comfortable with this. The other thing about this warning is if you do it too close to your deadline, you're going to be pressured. And what happens then is you put a ton of pressure on your child and they fold under that. That is the number one killer of potty training, okay? So don't do that. You will really make the whole process implode. This also creates future tripping, which I have talked about before. This is when we're so worried about what the child is going to be like in 2 weeks that we're not really present for what the child is going through right now. Future tripping occurs all the time in parenting. We all do it. I always say, you know, like if my son walks right over his dirty socks, it's like sometimes I can go to, he's going to get a divorce because his future spouse is going to think that his mom didn't train him properly to pick up his socks, right? Like we can future trip like that and it's ridiculous, right? But you cannot judge the potty training process. I have seen this process change on a dime. I have seen a child look like they are not getting it at all, go to sleep, wake up in the morning and ask to use the potty and never have another accident. So give your child the grace to be in where they are. It's like flipping out that they're not learning how to read in kindergarten and that they'll never get to college. You can't focus well that far ahead, certainly, but you also don't want to focus in 2 weeks. You want to focus on where your child is right now, and you want to do that with ease and grace, not gritting your teeth. So please, if you haven't started potty training yet and you need to be, start now. All right, we're well into summer and we are getting a lot of questions. I have to be honest, some of them I'm really not even understanding. So let me take the big one. There's a lot of questions about how to move from block to block. If you are listening to this podcast and you don't have my book, I really suggest you get it. I know a lot of people have already told me like, this podcast is relatively new and people are like, I tried to potty train just using your podcast, but I ended up buying the book. This is meant to supplement your book reading, not be it. The blocks of learning, as I've laid out in my book, are very, very specific. And what I need you to know is that when Oh Crap started, it was a PDF off my website for 6 years. Okay. So what happened is if you bought my book, you bought it from me. It came on a PDF for your computer. And if I made changes, I could email you with those changes because you were my customer. Now, of course, Simon & Schuster owns the book. If wherever you buy the book, you are reading my material, but you are Amazon's customer or you are, you know, Barnes & Noble, wherever you got the book. Okay. So I don't have direct contact with you anymore, which is kind of a drag, but that's how it goes. So this book started off, it started off like every other book on the internet, right? on potty training. It started off as pretty much a 3-day method because 3 days typically gets you over the major hump of potty training. But as time went on, so that was in 2009, if you can imagine where you were in 2009, what happened was the world changed. You know, back in 2009, there were a lot of stay-at-home moms and people had time. We didn't have the lives we have now. And so I started to realize that people were really questioning. They didn't know when to move on. And I really blame this on, like, as the internet picked up speed, we started to lose our parental intuition, all of us, because we started getting so much information. There are 6 million websites that are focused on potty training. 6 million. Yeah? That's unbelievable. So there's a lot of information and it pulls you out of your intuition. So you're no longer like just kind of going on your gut feeling and dealing with your child, dealing with the child in front of you, not the child that you see on Instagram, not the child that you see on Facebook, right? Like just your kid. And so parents were very, very confused. What looked kind of like an obvious time to move on to me, I realized was not obvious to most parents. And of course, again, I'm not blaming this on parents. I think it's the state of too much information. So as I rewrote the book. So this book had been rewritten probably like 30 times by the time Simon & Schuster bought it because I would learn things. I would adjust. I would see trends in parents, you know, and I could fix the book. So pretty early on, I realized this 3-day method is bullshit. It's not 3 days. It takes much longer for most kids. Really, 90% of the kids, it takes more like 7 days. And even then there can be a lot of struggles. But the big question was, how do I know when I'm ready for X, Y, and Z? So I really thought about this and I really thought I'm a visual learner, you know, and I thought this has to be like building blocks. Like if you watch a kid build blocks, they start with a big one, right? Like you start with your foundation and you usually build it in a pyramid style because otherwise it gets unstable. When the tower of blocks starts to get shaky, it will fall, but a lot of times it won't always fall down to the bottom, it'll fall to like the last 3 blocks, right? So that's like your foundation. But then you can put the next block on top of it. So I literally designed the blocks of learning like a tower block that a child would build or you would build with your child. So that if you start to stack another block and that block is unstable, you go back to the last stable block, okay? That is how it's designed. And I don't know why, but there seems to be a glitch in learning right now that parents are really struggling with even this concept. So I'm going to go through them. And again, like I'm honestly, if you want to give me feedback, that'd be great. But I can't quite understand why people are struggling with this because I don't know how to be any clearer. So the first block is peeing and pooping in the potty while bare bummed or naked with prompting or without. That is your first block on the ground. That is your basis. Can your child put their pee and poop in the potty without any obstructions, pants, underpants, anything like that? Typically at home, because you can't do this unless you're with your child, right? So that's an obstruction, daycare, anything like that, caregivers. Can they do that bare bummed, no obstructions, whether or not you prompt them, whether they just up and go themselves or whether you tell them to go and they go when prompted? So I hope that one's really obvious because again, I don't know how to improve upon that. And we'll talk about some special circumstances in a minute. The next block is peeing and pooping with clothes on, commando, which means no underpants, with prompting or without. This is, again, peeing and pooping in the body with prompting or without while you put pants on. So if block one, if they can't get block one, you stay in block one till they get block one. Then you move on to block two. If you rush block two into block one when they haven't done that, you're going to get pee in the pants. Do you see? You're going to get an accident. So that's why you wait to clear block one. Now, block one can take 4 hours. Block one can take 4 days. Typically, most kids catch on to it in a day or two. Block three, peeing and pooping in the potty in different situations with prompting or without. So this is when you have no pants on, you begin to leave the house, right? Because who wants to be inside all the time just watching your kid's butt? And then you try out different situations. Can your child use the potty at your friend's house? Can your child use the potty when you're at Target? Can your child use the potty when you're at the library or a play date or the grocery store or wherever? So these are different situations. So you want to start doing little outings and getting kids out, right? Testing the waters. If they struggle with that, you want to work on it. You want to attend to it, right? You might just kind of go backwards, stay at home, practice at home a day, but then you've got to get out. Maybe you take the potty chair with you, but you have to keep moving forward, right? The next block is peeing and pooping with underpants, with prompting or without. Now, I'm very clear in the book. Between block 3 and block 4 could be a long time before you put underpants on. Underpants screw with the process. I'm going to tell you right now. So if you're in a situation where you have 3 days to potty train, the child has to go back to daycare and they have to wear underpants, it's probably going to be a disaster for a week, okay? The best way to move to pants, and I say this in the book, the best way to move to underpants is that you have to try at home with just the underpants, just underpants. It seems to be the double layer of fabric that kind of screws the child up, underpants and pants. A big question comes up. You know, it's been 4 months. My kid still doesn't want to wear underpants. They enjoy not wearing underpants, or they keep peeing through underpants. Your child typically, you know, if they're in daycare, they may have to wear underpants. If they're wearing a dress, they're going to have to wear underpants. If they're wearing shorts, they'll probably have to wear underpants. But if you're at home, you know, if your child isn't in one of those situations and they don't want to wear pants, or they're wearing long pants and they're not having accidents, that's okay. The only reason daycare wants underpants on is either because their genitals are going to show, like with a dress or shorts, right, when they're sitting and playing, or because they're having accidents and the poop, especially poop, is going right to the floor. Pee isn't such a big deal, but poop is. So if your child's having poop accidents, that's why they want underpants on to semi-contain it. However, if your child is having poop accidents enough to warrant daycare to ask to put on underpants, you have not gone past block 1. You need to fix the pooping. You need my pooping solutions course. So a lot of parents will breeze through these blocks, haven't gotten a poop on the potty, or they're regularly getting poops in the pants, and they're like, I'm on block 4, but my kid is pooping his pants. No, you're really not. You rush through the blocks, and maybe you had to. Like, I'm not saying that, like, you know, shame on you. You rush through the blocks. Maybe you had to because of daycare. But what you've got to recognize is you don't have a potty trained kid who's having accidents. You have a kid who's pooping their pants. And that's something different. And that's addressed in my pooping solutions course.
Vaginas are absolute magic. And Ollie is here to give them the respect they deserve. That means shame-free supplements made with clinically studied ingredients to keep your pH in check and your pleasure a priority. Put yourself on top. Go to Ollie.com today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
And then the next one is block 5 is consistent self-initiation. And this isn't a block. This isn't something you sit in. This is just a warning that most parents expect children to be self-initiating, which is asking and indicating that they have to go before they have to go, way too early in the process. I'll hear from people, I'm on day 3 and this kid won't tell me that they're going to the bathroom. That's because you're on day 3. On day 3, there is no way you're at block 5. No way. So this is sort of more of like an order of operations. The first 3, those are the ones that are the bulk of potty training, and those you kind of stack right away. Then the rest of them are just like kind of an order of operations. The next one, this one, I really don't understand this, you guys, but I'm going to be really clear. Because I don't understand it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I am constantly contacted. I am doing night training and nap training. It's starting the same day as I potty train. So that is block 6, night and nap. And I put it there for most people who are not doing night training and nap training at the very beginning. And I'm very clear about this. Yes, in the book, where I say, if you want to do it together, it's a little more hellacious at first, but it ends up with less struggles down the road because there's no diaper. There's no fallback. There's no kid holding it for the diaper. They just get used to it so much faster. So while it's a faster way, it is also a more hellacious way. It's going to be a rough week. And if you don't have a weekend with the work week, with the weekend, I would not attempt these all at once. Okay. But I'm on page 60 of the book and it says night and nap, unless you are choosing to do it all together. Okay. If you're choosing to do it all together, you would do it all together. So I'm getting a lot of questions on social media about, hey, I'm starting on day one, but it's block six. So do I go through all the other blocks before I get to night training and nap training? And I'm like, no, you're doing it all together. So then you're doing it a different way. Block six is with block one. Okay. And these are just markers so that you have quantifiable data to move on. So what would a special circumstance be? Okay. So let's say you are on block one. Your child is peeing in the potty just fine. You can prompt them. There's no resistance. You're getting all the pees on the potty. You're great. You haven't gotten a poop. So you're like, okay, I'm going to move on. You can't move on. I'm telling you right now, if you put pants on that child who hasn't pooped yet, you cannot move on to block two. You're going to get a poop in the pants. I also want to be very, very clear. Once a child starts pooping in their pants, I would say twice to three times, but usually it takes twice. You have now just set up a new habit. It is incredibly hard to break that habit. So please, the minute your kid poops in the pants, come hell or high water, do what you can to go back to block one. If your child is in daycare, I give it one or two poop accidents, and then I would actually re-diaper for daycare, because at least with a diaper, we have something to take away. Once a child starts pooping in their pants, we can't just take away the pants all the time. Yeah. And if your child's in daycare, I'm assuming you don't have the time to go back to block one and stay home with your child. I'm assuming your child is in daycare because you are working. Okay. All puns intended. It's a shitty situation, but that's what has to happen. And again, I can't claim to know the intricacies of your life, and I can't claim to know how to help every single person depending on what their situation is, because of work, because of caregivers, because of all these situations. But what I can tell you is don't let this go on. Yeah. And so I'm trying to give you some creative solutions, but I would never be able to solve for X for every single person. I mean, I can solve the pooping problem if you get my pooping solutions, but a lot of times people will contact me and say, well, I have this situation, so I can't, you know, he's pooping in his pants and I can't take him home. He's got to go to school. I can't fix that. I can't fix that situation. You should get my pooping solutions, follow the protocol in there, and that should help. And then the last one, well, it's jokingly college. Like I say, you know, you're going to have to prompt your kid till they're in college. You will be prompting your child throughout their childhood. I mean, it just happens. It's just going to be the fabric of your life. You won't have to worry about them being trustworthy or them resisting you. You know, they'll just go. So I think that's the big thing I wanted to talk about, because again, I am a little befuddled. I feel like those are very clear, but maybe I'm missing something, or maybe it is the idea that, like, okay, what happens if you don't get a poop? I'm not sure. Okay, I'll move on. I don't want to beat a dead horse. Okay. So fear of the potty or the toilet is coming up quite often too. And that is like, how to identify it and how to fix it. So there are, in my book, I say, now remember, this book was written a long time ago. I say, I've only worked with 11 kids for whom this fear is like putting a cat in a bucket of water. It's like, it's extreme. It's crazy. It's a crazy fear. That was well over 14 years ago. And since, of course, now I have tons of kids, mostly this really amped up during the pandemic, really March of 2020. And that is because I think it just started to be an muscular reaction to anxiety, which is what poop withholding is. So a lot of times it looks like the child is afraid of the potty chair. They're typically not afraid of the potty chair. They're typically afraid of releasing. And that's the difference. So the potty chair is most often an innocuous piece of plastic. It's just a piece of plastic in your house. It's a seat. That's it. So if they are suddenly, if they are really afraid of the potty chair, and it can look like they're afraid of the potty chair, it could be that you put too much emphasis on this process. So, we're going to potty train, potty train, potty train. Remember, kids are hearing words like that. I have heard kids whose parents have never uttered the word timeout, and they are fully aware of what a timeout is. There are childhood words that they hear all the time. So maybe it was at the playground. They just kept hearing about somebody potty training and the whole thing is freaking them out. That is not typically what I see. In fact, I've never really seen anybody afraid of the potty chair. What it is they're afraid of the release. They're afraid. And a lot of times I'll work with somebody who says they're afraid of the potty chair. Oh, no, they sit. They sit, though, to poop. No, they're just afraid of the potty chair to pee. No, they're afraid of releasing pee. If they can sit to poop, they're not afraid of the potty chair. They're afraid of the release to pee. So I hesitate to say that a child is afraid of the potty chair. They can manage your iPad and your phone better than you can. So I really don't think it's the potty chair. They may be afraid of the process. And maybe the process has been made too big a deal of. Or they're afraid of the release. Now, there are first level release fixes and there are harder releases. So first level fixes are in the book, very clear. Anything, you know, anything that makes them laugh, horse lips, raspberries, anything that makes their lips go, you know, that sound, blowing, laughing, they can blow through a straw, they can blow bubbles. Those release the sphincter muscles and those are very helpful. Running water, the bath water is the best because it's like whooshing, you know, whooshing. So you can keep the potty chair in the bathroom and then just run the water. That's just classic. Then there is big withholding, which I've talked about often, and pee withholding 100% absolutely needs a consult. Any consultant on my website will be well-versed in the pee withholding. So those are the big things. I think that's all I'm going to tackle today. And I just want to say I'm so happy you're listening to this podcast. I am putting out resources constantly for you guys. And I just want to encourage you to always look for the resources. The reason I have some courses is because they go far beyond the scope of the book and they can be very, very helpful. So I also, though, like put a lot of time and energy into YouTube, into Instagram to give you guys free content. I make money by ads on this podcast so I can give you guys free information. Okay. So please look, I've been doing this for 14 years full time. So I'll give you an example that is just, it's a little wearing on my soul because I put so much work into the free content. Just yesterday, somebody said, hey, do you have any tips for wiping the butt? Like, guys, I've been doing this 14 years. Do you think you're the first person to ask me about wiping the butt? Right? So like, please go to Instagram, scroll my reels. I make sure like the information's on the front page so that you can see easily. You can scroll very easily and see issues. YouTube videos, the book, you know, I just feel like I'm just one person. I get some questions that are like, I've just created so much content around it. And I know that when you start, you're like in the throes of it. And it's like, no, I need help now. But please. And also my assistant and I, well, we're actually two people, I guess. So we try really hard to keep up on things. We really do. But Instagram has gotten demanding. And I've literally had people say, I don't have time. Answer my question now. Or I'm on day one of potty training. I'm 2 hours in. This is happening. Instagram is not a hotline. I don't want social media to be my life. Yeah. And I already put a lot of work into supporting you guys with as much free content as possible. So do me a favor and look for it. And I certainly don't mind, you know, like I don't mind answering questions. I just, when it gets demanding or it's, you know, something I just talked about, Instagram is so great. It's such a great place to keep information. It's like you've got somebody's page in their feed. There's always a link in their bio that links you to, you know, other resources. So I really encourage you to use those. Yeah. And if you're just starting, kind of just, I don't know, familiarize yourself, like kind of just scroll through the titles of these podcasts and see like, oh, it's good to know that if I run into that, there it is. So that way, when you are in the heat of the moment, you're not like, wow, what's happening? All right. I hope you guys are enjoying your summer. We finally just got hot here in Rhode Island. You know, I work on a balance ball and I'm so sticky. I'm just sticking to my balance ball. So I appreciate you listening, guys. As always, rock on and have a beautiful day.